Hi, Kristen. Are you ready to podcast?
Hi, Jen. I'm going to be honest. I'm not exactly sure. I'm hanging on by a thread.
I can tell.
Yeah.
We are at the end, somewhat, of a weight loss challenge. It's not even a weight loss challenge. It's more like...
Oh, shite. I just hit my mic because I was going to put my head down on the table. I was hoping I could put my head on the table while we podcast.
Because you're so deprived of calories at this moment.
I'm so deprived. Like... But tell people about our podcast where they can find us so that when I jump all over the map, no one minds.
Okay. You can listen to the I Mom So Hard podcast with Jen and Kristen wherever podcasts are listened to. And I'm having a refreshing soda. Coke Zero, which is zero calories, is my treat today because I've been trying to go all liquid for a couple of days.
We got to set up what's going on. Okay. So Jen and I are doing this weight loss challenge.
We're not going to tell you what the company is, but you probably, if you follow us on Facebook and Instagram, we've had this partnership with this company. Awesome company.
Yeah. The only reason we're not saying their name is because we don't want you to think that they have in any way
influenced this podcast
or our decisions to make poor decisions in the last 48 hours in an effort to hit a goal.
They've been great. And I'm actually really grateful for the partnership because I would not have.
Well, now we've made it weird. Now we almost have to say.
Do we? I can't trust you because you're mad right now.
I'm not mad. I'm hungry.
She's angry, you guys. She's angry. But it's not a program that has starved us, but
not
because
at all.
We have not followed it to the not just to the letter. We have gone way left to center over the last couple of weeks. We are really cramming for this test tomorrow.
Okay, so the whole thing is, we are working with this wonderful company called Profile.
Okay.
We started partnering with them. It's a weight loss program, but they also have a coach, and that's what Jen and I have been doing, and it's been really nice, and we love our coach, Nicole. They did not sponsor this podcast, but we just want to not have to talk around it, because it feels like if I can't just say shit the way I want to say it, this podcast is doomed, because I'm at my wit's end.
I'm going to add that it's not about a diet. It's about changing sort of how your brain works to keep you healthier.
Yeah, and bad habits. Just
totally.
So anyway, that was just the catalyst for something you and I had wanted to do for a long time, and just sort of getting, after a year of sort of being on house arrest, more or less, we wanted to get back in shape and knowing we're going to hit the road, we wanted to feel good again. So we partnered with them.
Every single time I say I'm going to do something, like make a plan, my husband goes, when you and Kristen said you were going to start working out every night after shows. He brings it up three times a year.
Your husband likes to do that. He's an antagonist.
Totally.
So Jen and I did a show in Missouri. Mm-hmm. Where was it? It was in Missouri.
It was in Kansas City,
and
I think, right?
We'd been on tour for a while. So Jen and I were enjoying the delights and the treats of various cities. Yep. And we were perhaps a little less toned. And we were sitting there after a show one time.
In Spanx.
In Spanx.
Spanx that were working real hard.
Real hard. And in fact, I was bent over to reach for the pizza that we got that had 18 toppings.
I just held an open box and poured it into my face.
Yeah, we just kept eating. And then at one point, Jen was like, we really got to get back into shape and start working out. And I was like, that sounds great. As I was wolfing pizza down into my face.
My husband was high-pitched.
And Jen was like, you know what we should do after every show? Because we're so awake, because we have adrenaline. We should go to the gym at the hotel and work out. And I was like, that sounds great. Can you pass the cheese roll?
Yeah.
And then we ate that. And then all of a sudden I heard this very girly, high-pitched laugh coming from the hallway. And it was Jen's husband. And we've never lived it down.
Nope.
He literally
all the time
replayed the scene for us in front of us as we were frozen eating mid-bite. I think I was eating barbecue pizza with sour cream, if I remember.
We'll be splitting a dessert, and he'll go, you guys go to the gym tonight?
So, but I would like to say this. Jen was very on board with the idea, so much so that the next day she did go to the local mall. She found a pair of workout shoes, and then we never went to any gym ever.
Ever since
on the history of I Mom So Hard touring.
But I wear those shoes a lot.
She wears the shoes a lot, you guys. But the moral of the story is we thought in this last year, it was really good timing that we got to kind of have our, we got to be pushed into it a little bit with a brand, yeah. which is really a great opportunity for us. And so, but you have to have an end game. There has to be,
yeah.
They say, what is your goal weight? You determine it. It's you, not like, yeah. they're not like, hey, you need to cut 50 pounds. You determine it yourself. You're yeah. like, what's reasonable? So mine was 10, just yeah. 10 pounds.
And they always do say that that's the last 10 or the last 15 that are like the hardest to lose. And it's absolutely true because my goal was 15.
Yeah.
And I tried to change it at one point, bump it up, and that didn't happen.
Yeah.
So, but
it's kind of weird when you go in and you're like, hey, I got this goal in mind. Can I change that goal?
Well, and now I'm stressing out because I last week I hit 16 pounds I lost, but our weigh-in is tomorrow, and that's going to be really anticlimactic when I've got my 1.5 pounds of period weight, and I'm like over it. Like,
it doesn't matter though, because you have hit your weight at one point. I have not. I am 1 pound away. So here's what happens when you're me and you're that close to any goal.
This is probably the first time I've lost weight in a healthy way in years.
Or maybe ever.
Maybe ever. Maybe ever, you guys. Either it's been like mental, a part of a depression or something, or like, what's the other one where you're like, you're manic?
Just good at, you're good at, I think in the past, you've always done it quick and fast, and that's yeah. always like
it doesn't last
it's, yeah it changes your body chemistry so yeah. What's nice about doing it right is it's slow, but yeah. when for me if yeah. it's slow, I'll stay there as long as I'm not an idiot, like as long as I don't go yeah. like thinking I can eat 3 pieces of cheesecake, which is all I want, you guys. Can I tell you, okay,
cheesecake, oh, don't even talk about food. I'm salivating
watching food porn because I am, first of all, I'm so goal oriented, but I'm also so hungry that the two worlds should never exist together because yeah. I'm like, Christian, you've got 1 pound, one.
Yeah.
Don't ruin it.
I've been doing the same thing where I like watch the kids eat their dry pasta. I'm like,
that looks so good.
But it is, when you're doing it like more slowly, I've tried like every weight loss like trick in the world. You know, like when you
did a double dose of Ally and then
crapped
your pants in front of
your plumber.
You
know what I am worried about?
Plumber.
Yeah, I absolutely did, you guys.
She crapped her pants.
Because I heard you can get the over-the-counter Ally and you double it, and then it's just like the prescription
this
Ally.
Is not advisable to anybody listening, Jen.
Nope.
Did a well, dumb
hey,
thing.
It's just
and
out
she
there
paid
on the
price.
Internet. Yeah.
She crapped her pants in front of a plumber, like front and center. He was in her apartment.
Yeah. I was like, how much longer are you going to be? Too late.
Explosion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
like
not
greasy
good.
Butt. Like, don't do yeah, that to yourself. It's fake weight.
You think it's going to be a toot and it's.
You
not.
Can't trust it.
No, you can't. So I am also worried because I bought all these like green detox juices in the last couple days. And I have not gone to the bathroom. So I have this fear that like this weekend after the weigh-in, I'm going to be on the freeway and my butt's going to explode.
Yeah, it's probably going to do that. I'm just saying, take a doggy bag.
That would serve me right.
It would serve you right. Yeah. Here, but right now, I don't feel like trying to lose 1 pound. First of all, just know I'm not somebody that endorses, nor do I believe in, nor have I ever really done it. I'm not like a fad dieter. I don't believe in diet culture. I am somebody who I like to work out to feel strong and sort of
yeah.
I'm always in my head like thinking like go approach this like you're an athlete. Even though I'm a mom and I'm, you know, I've never been super athletic, I like approaching things like I'm an athlete because it makes it feel different in
yeah.
like I'm not shaming myself. So I've got 1 pound to lose, man. And that is like a goal that I really want to hit. And I'm going to work my ass off till the end of this day. I'm going to weigh myself 30 times. I'm going to get on the Peloton for 2 hours. I'm going to do everything I can to hit this goal. And if I don't, then I just have to be okay. But I can't let myself feel like I did it. If a goal was, if there's a number set and I don't hit it, I didn't hit my goal. And you can give me a participation ribbon, but I didn't hit it.
I'm going to, and I'm going to start crying maybe even too, because listen to what you're saying. You said this goal of losing 10 pounds and you're 1 pound away. And we're coming out of a pandemic where people like gain 30. I gained so much weight during this pandemic. That's the only reason I had 16 pounds to lose because it was literally all just sloth and gluttony are the two reasons I gained it. So you lost 9 pounds. And you even said when we started, you're like, I can't budge like 3 or 4 pounds. Yeah. I've been trying and I can't. And you did.
Thank you. I've never worked harder at anything.
You've more than doubled what you thought you could do, which is even better. I know I'm screaming. Deal with it, everybody. But it's exciting.
It is exciting. And I'm not like shitting on the fact that I've lost some weight, and also what I've really...
And your butt's really high.
My butt's higher. The thing I get excited about is like I can tell that I'm stronger, and that gives me like a lady boner.
Yeah,
like,
me too. I didn't know that did that for me.
Exactly. But. If you go to a class and you lift weights, which I think women should do more, and if anybody's listening and you're like, but I don't want to get too big, don't worry, you won't. Like, women don't bulk up. We tighten up. So like you can go lift a weight. Like we should all be lifting weights because that's good for us as women. But I think you can take like HIIT classes with like 5 pound weights in it. It's like a cardio class with weights and it's really good for you.
Light weights, yeah, a lot of reps is what women.
But also like it feels good to like, oddly it feels really good to run with a medicine ball. I don't know why. I think it's deeply rooted in our like beginning existence where we had to carry like pails of water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or like a carcass back to the camp to start killing it or cleaning it, killing it the rest of the way.
Yeah.
But just, you got a kid in one hand, you got some sort of like saber-toothed tiger on the other.
Yeah.
And you're going to go cook it up for a barbecue because the other cave people are coming over.
I did think of a way to throw my husband under the bus because he makes fun of us about our
all
working.
The time.
Okay.
He makes fun of me all the time.
No, this is my life.
It's his love language.
If I literally, I could be like, I love you more than anything in the world. And he'd be like, who did you sleep with?
Right.
Like he literally cannot not make a joke. There's no, and I say like, there's never a time. There's never a time where he's serious.
No, he knows, too, what gets under your skin. Yeah. And then he keeps going back to it. I'm like, don't show your cards.
Well, this is what he went to a CrossFit class. Hadn't been. This is like coming out of having
terrible
new
idea.
Little babies. Years ago, he went to this CrossFit place that our neighbor recommended that was like right by our house. He's like, great, I'll walk down there, do this CrossFit class. And he was like, I was the only new person to this particular like day of class. And he goes, I would get done doing something and people would clap like, we can't believe you did it. Wow. Do you feel great? Like, he was like, I have never been so embarrassed. And then the worst part of it, he said, was at the end, there were these things like exercises you had to do across the floor and you had to do 20 of them. And he's like, I got done with like the first two. He goes, everybody was done because of CrossFit and it's a team, they have to wait. And everybody's like, yeah, come on, okay, 13. And then people were like, I gotta go. Like the crowd was just dwindling, which you're not supposed to do. And he was like, it was the cringiest moment of my life. He's like, my body was shaking because I was like, wait, why can't you just go and I just won't finish? It's my first class. Like, I don't understand why everybody's making me do this.
I people are going to be mad because like they love CrossFit and if that's what you're into,
you either love it or hate it. They know it.
You love it or hate it. That's not what this is about, but I do have personal experience with CrossFit. I got really injured and so did Colin, and that's why he had both rotator cuffs operated on because he gets in there and he's a big boy and they're like, lift more, lift faster, lift more. I'm like, this feels like a terrible idea.
It is a little bit more competitive.
It's competitive. But that's the thing I did miss about it is because, like, you know me, that like whole team thing, like that nothing makes you feel cooler than when you got people rooting for you on a street race, but you're all like 40. Like, it's like nobody's running a 4:40. They're running like a 20-minute 40. And it feels good when the other people are running the same race as you, you know, like you want to be in like a class with people that are the same level as you so you don't get discouraged.
I'm such a non-athlete. Everything you said is pops and hisses. It was just a bunch of numbers that I don't understand, Kristen, because I don't like to be, I feel like very in the spotlight, even though I'm not, nobody's paying attention to you at the gym, but I feel really embarrassed at the gym. Like if I'm not doing it right. So that's why this like happened, getting to like, you have to, they encourage you, your accountability coach with this program we did, you have to she makes you work out. And yeah. it's not, here's how it works. She's like, you're just going to do something more active. That's how it starts out. Just see if you can walk around the block this week. Like do like yeah. one night, whatever yeah. it is, so that you're doing more than you did last week. Yeah. Just do that. And so Kristen made me download the Peloton app mm-hmm. and I fought her tooth and nail. Yeah. I was like, that's going to be your thing. I'm not going to do it. She goes, you don't have to do the bike.
Yeah.
You can, there's all these other things that you can do.
That's so, literally why the app is so popular. It's yeah. because of all the other things you can do.
Also,
literally a
not
walk.
An ad for Peloton.
No.
I'm telling you, I've gotten my brother, Addison.
Yep.
Who else? I've gotten so many other people to sign up for
yep.
and they
Megan,
do it like regularly.
My sister.
Oh, yep. she's doing it. Yep. Yeah. So
it's great.
I like it and they like it kind of for the same reason. Nobody. So I started doing yoga on the app and I told myself I can do this 20 minutes three times a week.
Right.
And I would do it at the end of the night. It's mostly stretching to begin with.
Yeah.
I started off like beginner classes and then I got into the poses. I started doing flow classes and really liked it. And I wanted to do more than 20 minutes. I was doing 30 minutes and then yeah. I was doing 30 minutes 5 days a week. And then I do 45 minute classes. And now if I have like 10 minutes, I try like a focus flow class, which is like 15 minutes just on one pose
yeah.
or like 15 minutes just on your core or something like that. And you guys, this is not who I am as a person. Like I never, but it was like such a gradual integration into my life that I'm like obsessed with it now.
Yeah. I think anybody, I mean, we're coming out of everybody comfort eating. For
yes.
the comfort eating and drinking for the last year
yeah.
and a half. And I don't blame anybody. I think whatever you needed to do to comfort yourself during this time, I say no judgment. And I think everybody's kind of in that space right now mentally where we're like, you know what? This last year and a half kicked our asses.
Yeah.
Now our asses are bigger. So now we have to get back to being in shape. Not even because of how you look, but because of how you feel.
Yeah.
Because we now have to like twist the dial and try to get back to positive. So I think what you did was so smart because you like the Peloton app because those classes you can do at home on a TV, on your iPhone,
yeah.
on your whatever, and it's private.
I learned in my garage. I just spent $21 from Amazon on a yoga mat and yoga blocks and the little
yep.
strap thing, which I don't ever
I spent
use
a lot more on the Peloton bike.
But I could do it in my garage and nobody saw it or could criticize or make fun of me when I fart or whatever, which
is she does a bunch.
You guys, it's who I am.
Everybody toots in yoga classes and
you
they
just
like
can't help or you queef. You can't help it because air like you're
gets up
in
there.
Your body. Yeah.
yeah.
And
you're
actually,
squeezing.
I think it's great. I mean, stuff's getting worked out that shouldn't be in there.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So, and my
wait,
brother,
what? Like, wait, what? Like stuff that shouldn't be in there.
Like air in your.
Oh, in your jane?
Yeah, because
okay.
you know, you do
oh,
some poses
oh.
and it just like, I don't know, it's like a trash compactor kind of
situation.
It's
making me reevaluate what's in mine. I'm like, geez.
Do
there's
some
like,
yoga and see what comes out.
I have like tension from like 1998 that's
you
packed up in there.
Might get like a roll of nickels in there.
Yeah, who knows?
That you
car keys?
Experience.
Like, who knows? I never did find my car keys from a Mini Cooper. That could be exactly
that
where
could
I put
be
them.
Where, yeah,
it's
that
like
fob.
I hung them up
can
in my
I,
vagina.
It's $200. Is it?
It's
can
$200
I,
for a key fob. Can
I
someone
know.
Just like beep it and see if we can find it.
You can probably sell that on eBay and get extra cash if you mention where you were storing it for so long.
Yeah. If I just say, hey, this key fob that now the car has been sold
yeah.
was in my vagina.
But I'm a Mini Cooper fan, love vaginas.
Yeah.
So
and
I'm going to buy
like,
it.
And he's like, you know what? I'm a fan of vaginas and Mini Coopers.
Yeah.
Here's what I would say though, but don't associate my vagina to anything mini. It's my,
oh, yeah.
my vagina's full size. My car's small.
Well, yeah. It's interesting if that, those cars. Keys stayed in there after you delivered babies. It's like, you've got a lot of extra
they would not.
Space in there.
They would not.
Okay.
They All would right. not. They'd be like, gonzies. Everything fell out then.
So now I'm walking around the neighborhood a little bit, but I have this to say. Part of the reason I really want to see that number tomorrow when we do the weigh-in is because I don't feel like I'm done, and I'm not done in terms of like I have muscle now that I feel like I've never had before and I want to keep that going. And I also like, I can see that I've lost weight in places that I have never been able to before, even before I had kids. Like I know I'm going to have fat on my stomach. It's just going to be a thing.
Yeah.
It's from babies. So I don't think that's ever going to go away. But now I sort of see, and this is going to sound possibly stupid, I don't know, but for the first time in my life, I see where just having extra weight, and I don't have tons, so this says a lot and makes me so compassionate for people who have more, is that I see how it gets in the way of what I want to do. Like, yeah. There are things I can't do in yoga or do as well because of my stomach.
Right.
And I look at people that are able to do that, and I'm like, okay, if I could improve that any, I could do better. And also, like, I could jog better. I could do all these other things that I want to do kind of better.
Yeah.
And so I want to see if I can do that.
Yeah. You're inspired.
Yeah.
I have to say, I come from like kind of thin stock, or like I say we're middle sized. We're like middle sized stock. So I've never been somebody that has had a weight problem. I've never weighed so much that you're into those stages where your body looks entirely different. Like, I know there's people out there, there's women out there in particular that like they're at that place now. And I have all the compassion for them because this is my parallel experience and it is nothing like what they're dealing with. But after I had Eleanor and I'd been on bed rest for like 6 months, had not used my muscles at all. I did sign up for scuba and I had to take a swim test and I almost drowned. That was stupid. Yeah. But it was the most my body had been carrying ever upright in my life. And I remember going like, I don't understand this. Like, where's this coming from? And so when you're saying like your body doesn't do certain things, I remember my body being like, I was wearing sandbags is what it felt like. Cause I met with a trainer. Cause I told Colin, I said, I've been on my back for too long. My body, I can't move.
Yeah.
And I'm fairly fast. I'm a pretty good runner. And I went down to do beach workouts when we lived over in Santa Monica. And I met with this trainer and she was awesome. And she did like calisthenics just like to get my cardio going. I could not run. I literally what's happened to you? And I remember sobbing in my car and being like,
yeah,
I don't know how to put one foot in front of the other on this. This feels terrible. And I was so frustrated and I was so defeated. And I know that the first day is always the suckiest day. And you might cry and you might feel terrible after 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But your next day won't feel terrible at 5 minutes. It'll feel terrible at 6 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it'll feel terrible 7 minutes. And pretty soon you've got 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you start to feel like, all right, man, I just did a 30-minute workout. That's good on anybody's frickin' charts, you know?
Totally.
But it takes a really long time and it's painful and it's embarrassing and you look awkward, you feel awkward, but ain't nobody looking at you, ain't nobody judging you. And like, the only thing that you have around you is support. I think that it's hard to remember that sometimes because you feel very lonely and you feel very ashamed of yourself that you let something go. I felt ashamed of myself and I was on bed rest with a baby.
Yeah. Well, getting into a place where you're not happy with your body is a gradual process. And the truth is sometimes it's not your fault. It can be so many things. It can be your body chemistry. It can be an injury. And honestly, pregnancy is not fair. Like, women get
our
so
our hormones
much.
Get so screwed.
My husband never gives me a hard time about my weight whatsoever. I don't think he thinks I'm anything but perfect,
right.
Honestly. That is the face forward that he gives me. But he'll make fun of, like, obviously my convictions and stuff like that. But he's been really encouraging me through this process. And I've been explaining to him for the last 2 weeks. I'm like, when I go to do this weigh-in, I'm probably going to be on my period. And it automatically means I will be 3 pounds up. So I need to be below.
I know. That's how women have to deal with life is we go, oh, there's going to be this week where you have a hormone shift and everything changes. Your mood, your energy level. And then welcome to above 35.
Yeah. And
everything starts to change.
Because your testosterone goes down. And older men as they age can relate to it because as your testosterone goes down, you just start gaining weight.
Yeah. You start getting puffy.
Yeah. And
it's hard, unfair.
But this is what I'll say. We're not doing this podcast to say like, hey, you can do it or whatever. But I do have to say the best thing about this and the reason why it has worked for me and I feel happy about it is it was gradual to get where I was. And it was gradual to get where I am now.
Yeah.
And I just am happy
Yeah.
that I stuck to it kind of as much as I could. And you don't have to give up wine. You don't have to be miserable. I actually think there were some things about it, like protein shakes and bars and stuff like that, that make it easier for a mom because I don't have time. I make two different meals for my kids, one for my husband, and then I'm like, what am I going to eat? Whatever the kids tell me. And it's
change
shit.
Is hard. I mean, listen, I do believe that there's all these circumstances that can make it feel unfair and hard. I'm in that boat currently. But I also know that we can all like tighten the reins and make better choices. And those choices are scary because we're used to being comforted by food and by...
They're not choices that cause immediate joy.
They're not. And they're choices that mean you're going to miss out on some yummy stuff. And you're going to miss out on sitting down more than you are standing up.
Yeah.
But I always do the same thing. I'm always like... get up, get moving, because there's something in my brain that works like a picture, and I see myself when I'm sitting as sort of like a silhouette of like a what do you call it when you get your profile done and they do that, like, is the silhouette, is that right? When it's like on white paper and they, like when you're sitting down, it's like all dark.
Yeah.
But when you get up, like I can see like blue light moving through my body or like, and I keep thinking about the vascular nature of what walking does. And every day if you walk, like you're late for 15 minutes, you're doing your body good.
Yeah.
It doesn't take that big of a change, but I think everybody, we're all good at making excuses as to why we can't do it. And it's really incredible when you're like right now, I have one goal in mind and it's to get that number. And it changes the way I do things. There's no conversation about whether I can work out. It's like, when am I going? Like, no. I have to get on the Peloton for an hour. I'm going to do it. I don't care what anybody's like. Get out of my way. I'm tired. Yeah. I'm hungry. I'm cranky. I'm going to start my period. I'm like, I don't want to do any of it, but I don't want to miss that goal. And even though I've got the other weight that I've lost, this last pound is the most important.
It's the biggest.
It's the biggest.
I found from and there's other companies that have like accountability coaches, and you can just like find them, like people do it, which I was like, oh yeah, I've had a life coach before, whatever. But
you and I are so different.
So crazy. I'm like, I had one really good life coach and then one super crazy.
You've
life
had
coach.
More than one life coach?
I've had three. We'll do an episode on that.
It's really
crazy stuff. But I didn't know what it would, because I've read like so many self-help books, guys.
Again, something I don't do if it's not. Yeah. I don't understand if it's not James Patterson.
Well, one thing that she would do when she was talking about like basically what her job is, I don't even know if this is right, but for me, this is what she was. How do I get your eating habits that are good for you and your moving your body to fit into your life? Like, let me come up with ideas that
Jen's
get...
Jen's like, let me have a Chardonnay on the treadmill.
I do yoga with wine. I do sometimes. Like,
that'd be the best yoga class, literally.
They
Wouldn't
do
that
it.
Be so
There's
fun?
A lot of yoga classes that do it. It's like candlelight and wine yoga. They do it on Friday nights. Like, Equinox does it.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's great because it's just like, I'm sure they're like, hopefully you finish your spin class and then come.
Yeah, they're like double classing it.
Yeah, not me, but I still like to... I still do it. Like,
yeah, that's good because it's on your terms. That's what's really special about it and what you'll do. Somebody said,
you'll spill on
like,
the treadmill,
what's the
though.
Best you exercise just... you can do?
The one that you do.
The one that you do.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like, honestly, if it's turning on music and jamming out, if it's swimming or whatever, like everybody having opinions about what you should do, just do something. That's all that matters.
It's important for women and moms to hear what we're talking about, because when I would talk to the accountability coach, her name's Nicole. She's lovely. She do
awesome person.
She's in North Dakota.
She's
and
in
she
North
couldn't
Dakota.
Be sweeter.
And she's like, I just want to make sure that you guys are
so hitting Jen, your
hitting your marks. Awesome person.
This is here. I'll do my impression. So Jen, what I hear you saying. you're not able to make a lot of time for you this week.
That sounds exactly like her.
We got to fix that, okay?
Yeah.
And so moms put everybody ahead of themselves.
Yeah.
And that is to their their health detriment, their sleep detriment, this is all related to their mental state, their how, whether they're getting their hair cut, their roots done, like whether they're taking care of their looks, their how they feel, any of it, it's, they kind of put themselves last because it feels like you're being selfish or vain or like you're doing something that's not important. But you need to be the best version of yourself for your family too. Yeah. So you need to be in good health so you can go hike with your kids, so you can jump in the pool with your kids, so you can like kill a leopard and drag it across the
as you need, if as you, you so
if
fit.
You need to. So it's not selfish. It's not selfish for you or your husband to be your best self for your family.
You know what I say to that? If you look around and you are someone who does not put themselves first, you're that person that you just described, which I believe is the majority. Is there a woman in your circle who puts those things you were talking about first, like puts herself first? Because I guarantee you're going to like her.
Yeah.
I guarantee you're going to like her. I guarantee you're going to respect her. I guarantee she loves her kids. I guarantee she's doing all the right moves. You're not looking at her like she's a bad mom. You're not looking at her like she's lazy or vain. Yeah. You're actually looking at her probably with a little bit of envy. Because
yeah.
I know I do. I know that I look at people who believe in their own happiness. And I go, you're just a happier person in general now. Like, it's always somebody who decides to hobby. You know, like, I'm taking a painting class, or every Tuesday I do, like, a hot yoga class or something. And I'm like, good on you, man. Like, it's never someone that's like, you know what I did? I hired two nannies, and I don't have anything to do with my kids.
Well,
they're in boarding school. I don't know anyone like that.
No, what this I don't either. And this sort of pisses me off is this realization, because I had this thought, and it really worked for me for a long time, was I thought really that, like, people who had it together and were in shape and stuff like that, like somehow it was easier for them.
Right,
like,
because that's easier for us.
The rest of your life is easier. So of course you have time to do all this yoga.
I don't think life is easy. And I don't think anything that you have to work for comes easily. I don't buy that they're like, people love going to the gym and working out. I think they love how you feel afterwards, but like, there's not, I don't buy for a second that there's people that go every single time and they're like, God, this feels good. I think they get on the treadmill just like all of us and they're like, why is it so hard today? And then other days they're like, I feel really like energized. Why is that? Like, it's the whether or not you choose to keep doing it.
Yeah.
And we are not just living for ourselves. We're living for health into our 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. You know that like the life expectancy now is 100, and that you have half of your life over 50, and half of that life could be living pretty good and not feeling too squeaky. And the other half could be full of stuff that comes from inflammation and poor
not
choices.
Not being able to do stuff. Yeah.
And poor choices sounds judgmental, but like nobody wants to be told that, but like you do have to make a choice. You have to make a choice about your life. And like, I'm not sitting high on the hog. I went on a vacation in Scottsdale and ate my weight, and now I'm paying the price. But I think that we have to remember that, like, we're not just doing this for the here and now, and we're not just doing it to fit in a certain size of pants. You're doing it so you've got energy when your kids get married, or you've got energies when you're a grandparent. You got energy when you're 70, 80, 90, because guess what? We're going to be around, and I don't want to be like crooked.
Get a girl and start walking or something like that if you want to. If not, I don't care. Maybe, you know, nobody's telling
you
to. Just
know you can do more than
you can. Yeah.
You're going to surprise yourself. Like, if you are someone who's been kind of like looking in the wings, like, I got to do something, I got to make a change, and you feel overwhelmed, just know something. You're way stronger than you think you are.
Yeah.
How many bags do you carry when there's a little league game? You carry 25 bags and you'll walk 100 yards to a baseball field and no bag will touch the ground.
Yeah.
So like, you're always stronger than you think you are, especially women. And you said it best. You said that women give their strength away. Like that we reserve it to give it. Like we're like, I'm gonna give my strength to my kids. I'm gonna give it to my husband. I'm gonna give it to the house. I'm gonna give it to this dinner. But what you don't realize is that you are doing that. That it's got to come from somewhere, and it's coming from you. So if you just turn that a little bit inward, I think you're gonna surprise yourself, which means pick up a weight, go outside and walk. And we're not being preachy. I think the reason we're saying this is because we're in the thick of it right now.
Yeah.
Like, and there's no end game. It's just only to get more and more healthy. I don't even like, we are not part of diet culture. We don't adhere to any of that. sort of find all of these things. I think
diet culture people would be really offended to hear that suggestion.
First of all, they are not listening to us. They're like, these guys are run. They're temptation in a bottle.
So, are what not to do.
Are what not to do. Okay, so I've got a hot flash. Olympics.
That's right.
And Simone Biles just stepped down to compete. Now, I feel like there's been criticism of her doing so.
Ooh, you think?
And
I mean,
she picked up, she's like, you know what? My mental health is not in a good place, so I'm not going to compete.
Yeah.
Because it's her, because she's such a ferocious competitor, because she has broken toes and literally has endured abuse at the hands of people that were supposed to be training her. Like, this woman is a machine. She's a competitor. She's always succeeded. She's always done everything. For her to step down at the Olympics, that is not something that people who are not suffering do. And I think what she did was brave, and it's honorable, and it's showing that she chooses herself. And by the way, I don't think... I'm not sitting on this side going, well, you cost America the gold. So Simone Biles knew she wasn't in a good space. And because she stepped down, this other athlete got to step in. And sometimes that's the best thing you can do. I think she is more of a hero because of that than any gymnastic move she can do on the floor.
I think it's awesome. And she had to know that she was going to get so much pushback. But a friend of mine posted something...
Her name is Sunisa Lee. Sorry. Is that right?
I think that they're saying she could get a gold too.
Maybe she got by it. The time, she won it.
Amazing. See?
That's what I'm saying. It's so because, so this all worked out in the end. And Simone Biles, I just think people like don't understand the amount of pressure and hours they spend.
Oh, that's what I was going to say, is that one of my friends had posted that it's not just that she is an elite athlete who have the weight of the world on their shoulders. Like, right. They have so many people that need them to win for
a myriad of reasons.
So many reasons. It's not just that she, as a very young person, is dedicated 1,000 times more than most of us can be. It's not just that she's a sexual abuse survivor, and that's publicly known. And she has been very supportive and very vocal, open and sharing about that. She is tougher than 99.9% of everybody in America.
Yeah.
And we are lucky enough to have her on our team. And we have to support her. It's also like, I don't want a pilot flying my plane if he's not sure if he can do it today.
If he can land it.
And she's her own pilot. She can die. Really, she can break her neck. She can break her legs. She can never compete again. But she has saved herself to fight another day. And we can all learn to do that, right?
Yeah. It's just not worth it. She's worth more than a gold medal.
Yeah.
So,
and you know what I love too? Here's my husband again. Here's a nice thing that he does is he cries about everything sports related,
There's nothing that'll crumble a man more than a good sports story.
Almost every morning he watches this. He loves the Olympics too. Watches one of those here's this Olympic story you've never heard before.
Oh boy.
About how somebody got to the Olympics or how they won or they didn't win. And the ones that choke us up the most, and I remember it being this skier who it was a cross-country skier. You've never heard of her.
Yeah.
You've never heard of anybody on any of these cross-country skiing teams. I might start crying. She ripped her hip out of the socket. The worst injury you could get in this cross-country race. And another skier who she was beating stopped, saw she couldn't finish. You know who it was? It was her fiercest competitions coach.
Oh.
She wrecked right in front of him is when it happened. And he helped her cross the finish line from another country.
That's so nice. They did that in a long distance race too. A I'm going to get it wrong, a runner from Kenya, I think, thought that it was the finish line. And then the guy behind him was from Spain, I believe. He noticed that he thought he was done. And so he's like, you're not done. And everybody, all the reporters were like, why would you not just finish and get that gold? And he's like, because it's not real. He's like, that's not a real gold because that guy stopped running because he thought he hit the finish line. I don't want a gold for that. And he goes, plus my mom would see me win that gold and she would know it's not real. And I was like, he brought his mom into it.
I know. That's so true.
Also, people are thanking their moms. It like makes my like heart just swell. Like there was one diver that was like, I want to give my medal to my mom. And I'm like, oh God. Let's hope for tomorrow's weigh-in.
Fingers crossed, everybody. Have a good one.